Well, it's great to be sharing today. It's also great to be looking at the parables, if I can get that right. I've learned so much looking at them. And a few years ago, I did a series that I'm sure you'll think I've been banging on about for ages, about the Beatitudes. I wanted to study those because I felt that I didn't understand them. And I felt that, well, they were a puzzle that I didn't understand, so I wanted to kind of study them a bit more. But we've heard so much over the years about the parables, haven't we, that we kind of think sometimes that we've got them on pat, we understand them. Well, as I start today, I'd just like to tell you how wrong you can be, okay? How wrong you can be. And I was wrong in thinking that. If you think you're comfortable, then forget it. Just stop it. So we're looking at the parable of the mustard seed. Now, I saw this quote as I was preparing. William Barclay said this, that the studying of the parables is like, for the preacher, is like a preacher's bar of soap. And what he meant by that is either you tread on it carelessly and find yourself cascading all over the floor, or you hold it so tightly that the word of God just flies out of your hand, and suddenly you find yourself that it's further away than you ever thought. Thank you. You know, the Bible talks about having a pure heart and clean hands. At least I've got the clean hands now. And so, there we go, wipe my hands. But when I started looking at the Beatitudes, I discovered that they were like a well that you could draw water from, and you could just keep drawing water from. And you find that basically it's never ending. Now, I don't know whether I could compare the parables to that, but when you look at them, you find they can be fresh every time. There's new meaning that comes to them. They're cryptic, multi-layered stories, purposefully designed to make you scratch your head. Jesus wanted to challenge his listeners. He's turning their worldview upside down, or in his view, right side up. He's subverting the authorities of the day and reorientating their worldview of what the kingdom of God looked like. So only those who are open to God, who stop and think about what Jesus is saying, get it. So do we have ears to hear? So as I just start, I just want to take a step back for a minute. The people of Israel have had all of their Old Testament history. Job, the book of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. All those voices and history. And then silence. 400 years between the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament. 400 years of silence. And then this guy rocks up after 400 years of silence, wearing the strangest clothes, eating locusts and honey. Really? I think he needs better diet. And purposely looks like one of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist. Just to give you a modern equivalent, I thought, what would it look like if I rocked up here wearing clothes of 400 years ago? So I came up with this. I think he's rather dashing, don't you? Yeah? I'm going to put that on my wall, I think. I think that's great. But you'd be a bit kind of strange if you rocked up wearing a nice frill and all of these things. And so I thought that would be a good comparison of what John the Baptist would have looked. He'd looked out of place and strange. But then Jesus arrives on the scene, and he's quoting, I'm going to take that picture off, actually. We'll go back to the well. Don't want you looking at me. Jesus arrives on the scene, and he's quoting many of the Old Testament prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jonah, Amos. But he's not just saying the same words. He's doing the miracles as well. So now he's like Elijah and Elisha. It's like Jesus is like all the Old Testament prophets all rolled into one. But this prophet is different. This itinerant preacher is speaking not just in the church. He's speaking in private homes, out in the open, in the countryside. And he's speaking what seems to be like nonsense. Parables. Stories about the everyday with a twist. They make you go, what? Jesus, what are you talking about? And the parable that I'm looking at today is just like that. So let's read it. Ooh, off we go. Mark 4, 30, 32. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Mark describes the scene where Jesus is at Capernaum in Galilee, teaching the people down near the lake. And our parable, this one, is the last of three parables about seeds. First, we have the parable about the sower. You know, the one where Jesus tells a story about the farmer goes out and sows his seed, and some lands upon a path, some on stony ground, on thorny ground, and on good soil. I won't go into it all because we'll never get to the end. And then he talks about the growing seed, where he says a man sows a seed and goes away, and suddenly it grows all on its own. How does that happen? He goes away and comes back and finds it's grown, and he harvests it. And then we have the parable about the mustard seed. So we have sowing seeds, growing seeds, and then what seeds look like. Now, I've got a mustard seed somewhere. Sorry. I'll just have to look for it. I know I've got it here somewhere. Put it. Oh, I've got a hole in my pocket. Okay. Oh, here we go. Oh, I think I've got it here. Right. There we go. Can you see it?
No.
What do you mean you can't see it? Are you blind or something?
No.
It's there. Yeah, I'm not joking. I don't want to drop it. It's there. It's a mustard seed. And as I started thinking, I'll put it there so you can see it. I'm not lying to you. And as I was thinking about this story, I just imagine the scene. Well, Jesus starts speaking and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and you can just imagine him looking round and seeing these plants, and he'll just reach down and pick up one of the seeds, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And the people listening must have thought, what are you talking about? The kingdom of heaven is nothing like a mustard seed. Nothing. God created the heavens and the earth. It's not like that insignificant little plant seed. Have you gone mad? And you can just, I just imagined in my mind this heckler turning to his friend, and this, and he picks up one of these mustard seeds on the ground. And he turns to his friend, he's saying, the kingdom of God is not like this insignificant little seed. And he turns to shout at Jesus, says, Jesus, I tell you what, Jesus, you're like that insignificant little seed. You are the mustard seed. Ha! And thinking to himself inwardly, yes, I am the mustard seed. Because I, with my word, we will fill the whole earth. And there and then, you have kind of one interpretation of that parable. And you can see this chap walking away with his friend. And he's saying, you know what? My fields are full of these mustard plants. Did they really all come from this one seed? I can't get rid of them. One day these plants are going to fill the whole earth. And right there and then, we have an interpretation. What seems insignificant will grow across the whole world. But you know what? This mustard plant, it's not a very pretty plant. You know, I heard one theologian, Paul Agudi, describe these mustard plants like pernicious weeds. Yeah? So if you think in a modern interpretation, the kingdom of God is like Japanese knotweed. Once you've got it in your garden, it's going to grow and grow and grow. Now that's the kingdom of God. You know, I think if Jesus had been around these days, he might have put it slightly differently. Because we know that there are smaller things than, you know, mustard seeds. He might have said, "Whew, the kingdom of God is like a virus, but in a good way. When it gets into your head, when it gets into your body, it will infect every cell with love, with peace, and with my life." I have a picture of a mustard plant. There we go. Sorry, it's not quite in focus. But you can see, it's not a very... This chap goes through Israel looking for these plants. I don't think he has to go that far to find them. And this is what they look like. That picture in itself is quite challenging. The kingdom of God is like that plant. You know, you just have to... But that's the point of a parable. You can't hold on to them so closely. They are like... In Matthew 13, Jesus told the same parable. He said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. It's not what you kind of call a tree, is it? I mean, I'd call it a bush. Yeah? So, Jesus, what are you talking about? What doesn't help the Jews at the time is that the Bible told them they weren't supposed to mix their fields with crops. So if they got all of these mustard plants in their fields, then that is going to create a dilemma for them. So why would you plant this bush in your field? But anyway, back to the kingdom of heaven. In the Old Testament, trees and birds of the air are referred to in Ezekiel and Daniel and in the Psalms. So Ezekiel 31 verse 6 refers to the Assyrian Empire to a massive cedar in Lebanon. All the birds of the sky nested in its boughs. All the great nations lived in its shade. So it's like an empire. So great nations are compared with a tree. So their power and reach are like the tree's branches, and birds nesting are like people or nations that take shelter under their protection. So the kingdom of God will be like God's great empire with branches that will allow people like you and I and the nations to find rest and shelter. And we do that, don't we? We shelter in the kingdom of God, as we've heard today. On another level in the Old Testament, people are compared with trees. In Daniel 4, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream about a large tree with beautiful leaves, with wild animals finding shelter and birds living in its branches, from which every creature is fed. And Daniel translates the dream, and the king himself is that tree. So we can be like trees. Isaiah 61 speaks of the Messiah as an oak of righteousness, and he calls us to be oaks of righteousness that have been healed and redeemed. That's who we are. So another interpretation of this, I'll show you another picture of another bush. Another interpretation could be quite personal. The kingdom of God in my life. Maybe I could say that my life is like this mustard plant. I think that's a pretty good analogy. Yeah? It's not very pretty. You'll never find it at the Chelsea Flower Show. Yeah. In fact, it's all over the place. Yeah, good analogy. But God's in it. And sometimes our lives are like that, aren't they? They feel all over the place. What is going on? Never seems to go the way that we'd like it. But God's in it. Maybe I could say, once God has planted his seed of faith in mine and in your hearts, we have the capacity to be like that mustard plant, to generate many, many seeds of faith that could give rise to many people coming to know Jesus. Could it mean that this parable is like you and I when we allow the word of God, the seed of faith, into our hearts and minds? It grows. And we become like that tree. So that others around us will come to rest in our branches and hear the word of God. You know, I think that when Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, I think he was trying to encourage us. Sometimes we look at it and think, oh, I don't know whether I've got a seed of faith. I don't know whether I've got that faith. But I'll tell you what you do. You do. Yeah? Come on. Let's have some response here. You do. Yeah? It is so small that when God has touched your life and deposited that seed of faith in your hearts, He's given you the Holy Spirit and promised that my sheep hear my voice. That's a seed of faith that will grow and grow and grow. So here's my challenge. We're going to finish early. I'm going to keep on time. Wow. In many places, Jesus compares faith to the size of a mustard seed. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I don't want you all going out from here shouting at mountains, i.e., you know, Scarfell and Ben Nevis, and yeah, because I like those mountains. I like to walk up them, and I want them to be where they, yeah. So, but we all have mountains. We all have mountains. Whether or not it's, you know, we heard from Josiah, who from Chandra and in Nepal about their Josiah, who's had an operation for a perforated appendix. You know, we have family members who need prayer. We all have mountains. And, you know, the context of that scripture was Jesus actually telling off his disciples because they weren't able to cast out a demon. And Jesus' response was, it's about prayer and fasting. Yeah? Mustard seed, prayer and fasting. Mustard seed, prayer and fasting. Okay? There's a connection somehow. He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you, if you have faith as small as the mustard seed, where is it? There. Can you see it? You can say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So if you have faith the size of this mustard seed. You know, I could have shown you a picture of a large mustard seed on the screen. But I think that would have missed the point completely. The point is, this is really small. This is really small. And I think that Jesus was trying to encourage us to say, right, okay, you spend time in prayer and fasting. You spend time in my presence. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will give you those seeds of faith from which you can go out and see the mountains move. So it's not about the size, really, I think. It's not about the size, because you can't see it. You can't see this, can you? You're shaking your head. I know you need to go to Specsavers. Sorry. There we go. Put that feed down. Sorry. You know, I remember when I first came to Christ. I was walking along, I might have shared this before, but I was walking on a rainy day. I wasn't interested in the rain. I was pouring my heart out to God. And I prayed what I think was it won't have been my first prayer of salvation, but it was a prayer where I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my heart to him. And something happened in that moment. After I'd prayed, I felt different. Something had happened in here. I can't explain it, but I just knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God had heard my prayer. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Spending time in God's presence learning to hear when he speaks to you and imparts the faith that we need to live and grow. We need to cultivate that seed that God has planted in our hearts. It might not, like me, it might not look pretty, but God's in it. So I'd like to close with this challenge to each one of us. To wait on God and to encourage us to learn to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to throw out a challenge. When was the last time that you felt the Holy Spirit whisper something to you? To lead you to do something, to bless you, or encourage you to bless someone else? Yeah? Well, that's the question. I'll leave it with you. When was the last time you felt inspired to fast and pray? And thirdly, when was the last time that you shared a testimony, a seed of faith, with a neighbor or a friend? I'm hoping that these promptings might encourage you to take action. These insignificant promptings that may seem small, but can grow into the kingdom of God. So we have a puzzle. And I've put on here, the kingdom of God is like people who seek a mustard seed of faith in all they do. There we go. And I'd finish with this picture. That's a bunch of grapes. Obviously, it is a bunch of grapes. You can see it's a bunch of grapes. Sorry, didn't need to explain that. That represents the fruit that we are inherently destined by God to produce. Just think about that. Yeah, your life and my life is to bear fruit. Thank you.